Along with us is also John, Big John. Big John Studd, I like to call him sometimes. What's up, John? How are you?
I'm doing fine. And it, funny you said that. Not that I'm anywhere near as big as Big John Studd. But back in the day, and I'm talking 40 years ago, I was the writer for the Big John Studd comic books.
Oh, really?
Which were around for a hot second. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Big John Studd, Mr. John Minton was his name. And unfortunately, he passed away a while ago, a couple of years ago, 10, 15 years ago, I think, because of some illness. But, yeah, Big John, happy to be with you guys. Glad you had, like, a couple of minutes for me this week.
Yeah, definitely. It's fun. It's been a while since we got back with you, and either it was just you and I or Joe and you, and so it's good to have us all kind of in the same room together here. But
it's good to be on with you guys when one of you guys isn't sick, because that's usually when I'm on, is when one of you guys isn't feeling well is when I'm usually brought on, but I'm happy to join you guys as usual.
Right. Oh, definitely. So, Joe, you there yet? You all right?
I'm here.
There you are. Joe is there. Your beautiful voice is here with us. So Joe and I have talked about this segment a bunch of different times, but now there is new information brought to light here with the Trey Hendrickson contract dispute. And it's reports now that he's going to return to camp tomorrow. So we brought John on for a little insight on this, and we decided to have a little fun talking about this, his contract, and what even John thinks he might even expect out of Trey Hendrickson. And maybe we can compare him with the likes of T.J. Watt with his deal even that he got, too, and production-wise. So, John, again, like I said, we've given our opinions a bunch of different times. So what do you think about Hendrickson and what's transpired so far with him and the Bengals?
Yeah, so I don't think this is an issue of whether Trey Hendrickson is a top NFL pass rusher, right? I think that's sort of like, yes, Your Honor, we accept that into evidence without any objection, right? He's up there. But let's not forget, guys, what is the one notorious, most tight-fisted, cheapskate organization in the NFL? It's the Bengals, right? The Bengals. They toss around nickels like manhole covers, right? They're tightwads when it comes to the contracts, and they just got done paying their triplets on offense, right? So Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, I think, got taken care of last year, right? So. Mm-hmm. You've got those. They've dropped a lot of cash, and it's going to be tough for them to sign Hendrickson. Will they end up signing him? That's going to be. I have no actual insight. I think it could go either way, man. And but if the question is should they sign him, I still don't know, because once you've gotten to this level, if you're a player in an organization, is there ever any real going back, guys, do you think? Like, once this sort of – this is beyond typical contract negotiations, right? There's holdouts. Mm-hmm. There's accusations. There's bad blood. The coach is trying to play peacemaker between ownership and the player. I don't know, guys. What do you think? Like, before you even get into numbers, before you get into comparisons, just psychologically, do we think that Hendrickson – is someone you want to have on the team once it's gotten to this point?
I think so, absolutely, because the fact that once they told him that even, hey, him and his team, you guys can seek a trade if you want. I mean, that was kind of, on the Bengals' part, kind of disrespectful as well. But he never really wanted to leave, though. He always wanted to be here. He's like, well, I want to be here with this team. I want to stay here. So it's not even about wanting to go play with somewhere else, stuff like that. I've shown what I could do here. I want to be here with the rest of the team. I think that's a good fit. And, I just expect to get paid like it for once here. So, in the fact now that he is deciding, to show up to kind of maybe lessen that blow here, be with the team and no longer train anywhere else. I think he was training in Jacksonville, I think, possibly. Yeah. So, to be here with everybody and people try to bring up, different things to quotes to other people. I think Burrow is like, I'm disappointed. I don't think he's disappointed in, Trey Hendrickson not being there. And, now there's trouble in the locker room, like people try to make that out to be. And I know he's not about that noise either. It's just disappointing that all of this stuff has to go down to this. That's why he always put his foot forward before with the organization and said, listen, if you want to do stuff here, you got to pay these guys here that are with me. And they listened to him and they paid those guys. But I think it's crucial still to get the deal done with Trey Hendrickson, because I think he is one of the top tier pass rushers right now. And I think you still pay the guy because I still think he can play at an elite level. And he's kind of what got you here. He just needs some help. Because, you know, you can't do it all on offense. We saw it all last year, what this team was doing. They're scoring 38-something points every single time and then still losing games. And that just makes it frustrating for the offense on top of it.
Let's just say this. Trey is a top three pass rusher in this league currently today. He's 31 years old, same age as T.J. Watt. And by all means, last year, the freaking guy just, led the league in sacks. Like, that's the ultimate stat that everybody goes to look at and say, just to kind of, for a lot of the fans out there, they kind of look at that stat and be like, oh, he's really good. He's really good by that, just stat alone. But this guy's an all-around defensive end. This guy can play the run extremely well. He pass rushes. He gets into the heads of quarterbacks. And by all means, you cannot let this guy walk. Cincinnati Bengals front office knows this. That's why they're trying so hard to get this deal done and moving forward. I think they actually do get this deal done when it's all really going to come down to right now is guaranteed money. Is they? I know reports are out there saying they're so far apart. They're so far apart. I don't think it's that far apart. I think what it is there's a standstill right now in terms of how much guarantees Cincinnati Bengals want to give up and how much Trey Hendrickson is asking for. And that's really kind of where the speed bump is happening right now. So for Trey and the Bengals, absolutely you sign this guy, because it's not too often, just like a quarterback, not too often you get your guy at that position. And by the way, is one of the best to do it in the NFL right now. So get the deal done. And we all know the Bengals also are one of the slowest front offices to get deals done. Everybody was waiting him and hawing about the Chase deal, the T. Higgins deal, the Joe Burrow deal, and now it's all done. But now they got one more mountain to climb with Trey Hendrickson, one last contract to solidify it, move forward, and then make all the Bengals fans happy.
I don't disagree with you, Joe, but here's my thing, right? You mentioned the parallel to quarterbacks on offense, and I agree with you on defense. Your quarterback, so to speak, in terms of financial slotting, is always going to be your top pass rusher, whether it's a linebacker or D lineman, right? It's always going to be your best, the guy who can disrupt the other team's quarterback, right? So right. I agree with you on that. But here's something that, like, say the Cowboys never seem to learn. The longer you wait, the more it'll cost you.
Correct.
Because there's no such thing as the price going down on these guys. It's not like running backs where they were up here, now they're down here, now, you know.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen anymore, right? Quarterbacks have been like this. Daniel Jones got, what, $45 million guaranteed. Giants fans are still pulling their hair out of because that's just market rates. It's the cost of doing business, right?
Right.
So the fact to me that given that the Bengals are a historically tight organization when it comes to contracts and guaranteed money, to your point, they're historically slow, and they're very deliberate with all their contracts.
Yes.
This price, even if it's not total dollars, in the organization's mind, is going up by the hour. Right, because they don't like giving that guaranteed money for defensive players past, you know, their option years. Right, so he wants what, 3 years guaranteed money, 2 years worth of guaranteed money? The Bengals want to front load it all into 1 year. That's a big deal for the Bengals because you never want to set the precedent. You might be if you're an organization, you don't want to be the Browns. Because they were the first team to fully guarantee a quarterback money, right? They were the first team to say Deshaun Watson, forget how it actually turned out, right? But they were the first ones who broke league precedent to say 5 years, 230, it's all yours, right? And every other quarterback went, now we know what we're worth, right? Same thing with these D linemen, right? Like, The Bengals, for their own organization at least, don't want to set this precedent where if you're the top player in any given year, you're getting guaranteed bucks. I almost have a feeling they'd rather go the opposite direction of Hendrickson. Hendrickson is saying, I'll give you a hometown discount if you guarantee my money past one season. I think the Bengals might be the opposite. They might be like, we'll give you a little bit more without the guarantee past the one season, right?
I'll say this. The discount is out the window. That ship's sailed. Trey Hendrickson was willing to give them that discount early on in talks, but he said himself, you know, when reporters were trying to interview him and get some more feedback from him, and he's like, listen, he goes, I think it's gone long enough. I mean, we should already have a deal done by now. I don't know what's taking so long, but we're still where we're at. And, you know, maybe someone else will pay me. If they want to trade me, I don't want to be traded, but if that's the option, then we'll visit that when it comes.
Now, reportedly, Hendrickson and his agent did try to put some deals together, and they actually did. And they were sent, the Bengals front office was sent several proposals, and they turned them all down. Now, I don't know what those entailed, right? Maybe they were horrible offers. Maybe they were decent. We don't know.
No idea.
But they turned everything down, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think a lot of this is we got to teach this guy a lesson? You know, back in the day, guys, there were players who teams held on to them and were perfectly happy to let them sit a year because they knew that after the year, they had to deal with the same team. Like, the free agency wasn't as loose, right? So, I mean, I can remember examples. Eric Dickerson, Mark Haynes at corner, right? They had him sit out a year. Because for NFL players, sitting out a year is like, you might as well be shot in the leg at that point, right? Because the way the careers are, you can't afford to take a year off.
Right.
Do you think the Bengals are playing hardball? Are they trying to send a message by dragging this out with Hendrickson? Because I would think that if they had no intention of paying him his money, they would have taken the best trade available because someone would pony up for Hendrickson, right?
Oh, there were several teams when that was kind of whispered out into the atmosphere. Teams were like, oh, speed dial, call them right now. Like, let's see what they're asking for. Like, you know, teams were excited when that was starting to bubble up in rumor. But I got to say, like, I don't think this is a teaching moment for either side. I think this is one of those things where, like, the Bengals wanted to keep everyone, and with this salary cap era, it is extremely difficult to do so, especially when you have the likes of Joe Burrow, Chase, T. Higgins. You just gave them mega millions deals.
Right.
And now we're coming back to Trey Hendrickson where he's like, hey, listen, I led this league in sacks last year. I'm one of the best guys in the league to execute this position. Mm-hmm. So what are we going to do? Let's get this deal done. He wants to get it done. The Bengals, I know, want to get it done. But the one other thing that I'll say about their front office is we mentioned how slow they are. It's because they're doing the work of, like, half of what normal NFL teams have at their front office.
Roderick told us that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, It makes sense that it might be taking longer than people like, and even for Trey Hendrickson. But now it's at the point in the year where we hit training camps, practices are happening. You know, Jimmy just broke it and said that, like, hey, you know, Trey Hendrickson is coming back. He's going to go back to training camp because he doesn't want to get fined $50,000 a day anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, is trying to conserve those fines and keep that money. So Trey's doing his due diligence, right? Like, he's going to come back to the team, be the responsible responsible player, and come back to training camp. He's going to go through the drills and all that, and hopefully he's betting on this thing getting done.
And you could look at salary cap, whatever you want, and stuff like that too. But how many times Joe and I have talked about it too? The fact that it doesn't even really matter. They're gonna any of these guys that work the money here, they can figure out a way to make sure that it's backloaded. Whatever they can do, as long as it's guaranteed, they can work the numbers to where financially it fits. For him, it's about being taken care of while he's there and getting some recognition for what he's done even too. I mean, moving on from the Saints and now becoming here in Cincinnati, he's just been on a whole nother level here than what he was with the Saints. So they should look at it as, hey, we've gotten this guy on the cheap so far and what he's been able to produce for us. Yes, you know, he wants to get paid and we need to be able to get some working pieces around him, but draft some good guys on defense here. Get him some young help, some young talent. You also didn't help him out by setting up and getting some guys to stay. Jesse Bates a few years ago, things like that. Some more pieces to work around him when the guy's just hauling it all himself back there. And get some help again, because like I said, this offense can't do it all here, and he can't do it all as solely alone on defense here, but they do need him. If they have any kind of way, if they're going all in and putting the chips on all this offense and doing this, they need to take care of him. They need to bring him in here, or it's all for nothing. This team will only go so far in the playoffs.
Let's remember this, too.
Especially even last year, just real quick, Joe, that defense wins championships, and they ain't got one. So
let's remember this, too. Shamar Stewart was a guy that was taking forever to sign a deal.
Mm-hmm.
He just got his rookie deal done and agreed to it.
Yeah.
And it's another guy that they drafted him for a reason, to help Trey opposite mm-hmm. him. So the pieces are coming together, but they're not going to come together fast. And that's mm-hmm. the upsetting part of it for Bengals fans, is the fact that they have the offense to win now, but they don't have the defense to go with it. So the only way to execute this going forward is trying as best they can to get this Trey Hendrickson deal done tomorrow, next week, early next week, at some point in time, get it done. Because the only way they're going to be able to build the rest of this team, defensively, special teams, and otherwise, is through the draft. It's the only way they're going to be able to keep guys like Trey Hendrickson and so on and so forth. So
you're right. That's the blueprint for any NFL team, right?
Right.
It's like you got to pay for your quarterback. If you're lucky enough to draft your quarterback and you have that five-year window, then you go all in on other positions, right? That's one blueprint, like the Eagles. Or the other blueprint is you pay. You pay for Mahomes. You pay for the head coach. You pay for your key pieces, and then just interchangeable. And you rely on your scouts, and you rely on your coaching, right? Because you can't pay everyone. That's the reality of today's NFL.
That's why the draft is key.
The draft is key, right? So in terms of the Bengals, though, do you think – okay, let me back up. I'm going to play sports talk call-in radio guy right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jim and Joe, what do you think? Should us Bengals fans go out? Should they go out and get Christian Wilkins? He's available. Can we go out and sign him on the cheap? He's got his money guaranteed by – not guaranteed, but he's got most of his money guaranteed by the Raiders for this year, don't they? Why don't we go out and get him? Show some good faith towards Trey. Get him a running guy in the middle, man.
I mean, the problem with that is they need to see – we all need to see how that situation unfolds, because there's so much to that story that – maybe some teams, obviously, in the inner circle, they get a little piece of information here, a little piece of information there about said player. And Wilkins being one of those guys that I feel like there's going to be a couple teams right now that may be interested in him. But also, there's a lot of teams that are saying, hold on a second, let's get all the facts first.
What exactly
transpired before we even call his agent. So, you know, football-wise, hell yeah. You go get one of the best D tackles in football.
Right.
But, you know, with the situation going on, it adds a whole different variable to it. So it's like, nope, we got to pause. We got to wait, see what happens with that whole scenario. And then if it's all free and clear, if everything is all good to go, then we can call his agent, bring him in for a visit, and try to maybe work out a deal. Now, the crazy thing is that for the Bengals, especially, let's just say you get this Trey Hendrickson deal done, you're not calling Christian Wilkins to come play for you. His contract, or the next contract that he's going to be looking for, is going to be steep as well. So, again, that's going to come into play as well. Like, does he even want to go to – obviously, you see the big mega deal he signed last year with the Raiders. Right. It's like, that's the kind of numbers he's looking for in the next one.
Right, but much like the Steelers last year, or was it 2 years ago with Russell Wilson, right, when they basically got him for nothing for 1 year, right, because the Broncos were paying the guaranteed portion of his contract, right, so they signed him for the league minimum, was it like $500,000, right?
Right,
They got a starter for half a season out of it, right?
Yep.
Potentially, a team that signs Wilkins might be in the same boat as a one-year rental, right, which is if you think you need that one extra – And look, for the Bengals, you guys said it, I believe it too, right? They've got the offense to win now,
right?
Yeah. They just need to be able to hold the team to, say, 35 points a game, right? Which sounds almost goofy, right? But hey, if we could shoot for 35 points allowed per game, we have a decent shot at this thing. And maybe if you get Hendrickson, back in the fold, potentially you pair him up with Wilkins, even as a one-year rental. Say you sign them for $2-3 million and just tell them, like, we'll take care of you next time around.
Yeah, I don't think,
I don't see where that's a bad idea, potentially.
I don't think that scenario will apply with Wilkins because he's already filed a lawsuit against the Raiders because Raiders are looking to void his remaining guarantees. And if that, in fact, happens, because we still obviously don't know all the details about what transpired.
But he got his $20 million, right, for the year?
He got his first installment.
He got his first installment,
but that's it. So he wants the rest of that money, obviously. But I don't think the way things are looking, he might not get it. And if that's the case, he's looking to get a payday. He's looking to get back into making that high bracket of money where a one-year contract, maybe you could entice him to do it, but it's going to cost you.
Do you guys think that Hendrickson's going to be in a spot where he'll be like, okay, I'm sitting out. I'm just going to show up for the last six games of the year, get my credit for the season. And from the Bengals' point of view, if they're in the playoff hunt, is that the worst of things, do you think?
Well, I don't think they're going to be in that playoff. They don't have that luxury. I don't think. You see how they start off slow every single year. It's frustrating every single year. They start off slow.
Right.
They're not like, hey, you'll sit out. Go ahead. Like, we'll be there at the end.
Right.
They don't know that because they were even there at the end last year, and they looked so good. Joe Burrow was playing so well. You know, he was MVP status, and they missed it. They missed it, and this is what we're talking about. This is why you pay the guy. Looking at the top, DNs that are getting paid now and stuff like that, the teams appreciate it and they know why they're there. They take care of the guys. And they even have other, people or, helpers around them on this, on the defense here. Look at the Pittsburgh defense here. It's so good that they're even willing to walk away from, Minkah Fitzpatrick and trade him away. But, Trey Hendrickson, he's been able to perform, and he's basically the only guy they had to look at last year, and he was still getting it done. So you're a playoff-bound team where you hope to be again. Again, in a flash, you don't look at it, and then these quarterbacks, they're not getting any younger either, and they're hungry. They want to be able to beat Patrick Mahomes and these guys, and the Chiefs are vulnerable right now. So any of these teams, the Ravens, the Bills, the Bengals, they're licking their chops right now. And when Joe Burrow told these guys again that, hey, we're going all in with these guys, we're making an honest push again because this is what it takes to get it done. It doesn't matter. You still got to give money to that defense. You got to give it to Trey Hendrickson too because he's the one that helped get you there on the defensive side for what he was able to do. But, again, offense cannot keep putting up 40 points and losing. That is ridiculous. You got to fix the defense here.
Yeah, yeah. And like we were
can't go without
about earlier. We were talking about it earlier. You can't go without him, but that defense overall on paper with guys coming back healthy once again, maybe they can, start to show some promise this year. But again, the whole entire defense is suffering also because of the ideology of signing Trey Hendrickson. We saw them cut George Pratt, one of their star-studded linebackers on that defense, and by no surprise, they got to trim the fat somewhere to kind of make things work. And even though he didn't have like a humongous contract, every little bit helps and to try to shift that money over towards Trey and try to get the deal done. So by signing him, it is also, in fact, hurting some areas of the defense at the same time. So like we talked about earlier in this segment, the draft is key, and there's no quick fix to any side of the football. So, unfortunately, if they can get Trey Hendrickson done like we expect, then cool. But you still have to continue to build it in the next offseason.
Yeah, it's a tough spot to be in, man, because right now, if you're talking about top three, top five defensive end money, you're looking at what? T.J. Watt, 3 years, 123. So that's a little over $40 million a year, right, for a three-year deal.
Yeah,
Myles Garrett.
Yeah, about 30-something.
Yeah, it was like I'm looking at 3 for $123. So that's what, 41 a year, right? Myles Garrett got in at 4 years, 160. Now I'm just talking top line numbers, not talking guarantees or front loaded, back loaded, right? So the number seems to be about $40 million a year right now.
Mm-hmm.
And for Hendrickson, you know, it's not a one. He doesn't want a 1 year extension for $40 million, right? He wants two or three years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2 years, 3 years at $40 million. If they do that now, mm-hmm. is the team better off? Because if you're tying up that money, you've already paid your triplets. A substantial mm-hmm. chunk of your salary cap is going to those
yeah.
three guys.
Right.
You bring in Hendrickson, I'm assuming, at that number somewhere. He's got to be at 39-40, right? Somewhere in there. For 2 years at
Maybe.
Least. Are you better off, hey, telling Shamar Stewart, like, hey, man, you're in, trading Hendrickson, getting all the draft capital you can, and then and picking up whatever street free agents that are left that you think might have an impact, whether it's Wilkins or somebody else, and try to replace Hendrickson that way and save some dough? And to your point, Joe, look forward to next year and saying, next year's the old defense draft. You know, we just have to build up our capital, try to get a couple of extra picks, and just – which, again, to your point, is also hampered by the fact that they have half the scouting department of any other team
right.
in the NFL, right?
Right.
But, I mean, because it seems like you're stuck in no man's – I mean, I'm trying to be fair to both sides. Hendrickson mm-hmm. as a player deserves his bag. But mm-hmm. also, if you're the Bengals at this stage of the game, what do you do, man? Like, you had those triplets last year. And you still didn't make the playoffs. We can lose with you. We can lose without you, too, right? So if that's the old saying, then the same applies to Hendrickson. We lost with you. We can lose without you. We can't get any worse without you because we were already giving up, I think Joe quoted, 38 points a game. So why don't we trade him? Get the draft capital. See if the kids that we drafted, Stewart, anybody else, I mean, is that an option for them?
Well, the crazy thing is there was a situation, and there's always a situation similar to this, all the time in the NFL.
Sure.
Look back at Khalil Mack when mm-hmm. he was looking for mm-hmm. his new deal with the Raiders, and the amount of money he wanted was absurd to anybody in the building.
Right.
Like, and they knew they couldn't really afford him and keep building that team, so they decided to trade him, get any draft compensation they could get, and still continue to build the team. Well, guess what? It didn't work with Khalil Mack, and it didn't work without him. They got all those draft picks and everything, and what's something that you can't guarantee is picking the right guy in the draft.
Absolutely.
So even though it's a great idea to build further the defense and say, hey, let's get a boatload of draft picks for Trey, whatever we can get, and then look forward to next season. When you already have spent a ton of money on offense trying to win now, and I don't think ownership is going to be going for that kind of mindset, because mm-hmm. you've already unloaded the money for offense. You know the offense is ready to win now, and now you're saying, oh, well, the defense, no, we got a lot. We got some draft picks. We got high draft picks now. We traded Trey Hendrickson. But now what this year? This year it's going to be even worse. You're not going to have that star-studded pass rusher on one side, and hopefully you're hoping that Shamar Stewart wakes up in his rookie year and helps on the other end. So if you kind of like push, you know, kick the can down the street a little bit more on defense, well, your defense is still going to suck and maybe even worse because you don't have Trey
mm-hmm.
and your offense is going to score 40 points a game,
yeah.
but you're never going to win a game. And,
right.
you know,
mm-hmm.
it's almost like you have to like, then you're almost pushing the franchise defensively anyway, 5 years away from actually being any good. And in the end, when 5 years go by, with these athletes, you never know what's going to happen 5 years from now. Ja'Marr Chase,
right.
Maybe, you know, he's injury riddled all of a sudden and he can't stay on the football field. Or we all seen Joe Burrow, him get injured and missing some significant time, derailing the Bengals mm-hmm. offense mm-hmm. for seasons. So, I think it's tough because in this NFL league that these players play in nowadays, in this new era, it's like we need instant results. We need to see production. And it sounds like the Bengals, you know, sending all that money on the offensive side, locking those key players in, and now it's Trey is kind of like the last main guy left that they got to nail down to keep this thing afloat. I think it's a necessity for them, and they know that. And that's why I kind of really believe that they're working around the clock trying to get this deal done and get Trey to agree to it so they can move past this. And, you know, the crosshairs aren't on the Bengals right now in terms of pressure from the rest of the league, because you know other teams are watching this whole scenario unfold.
And it's sort of like what the yeah. Browns had to deal with Myles Garrett, right? Because the question for them was, and I think Garrett is, you know, he's 2 years younger. He's on a different level. He's a slightly above, I think, Trey Hendrickson. I think we can all agree to that, right?
Yeah, Garrett's one of the best, for sure.
Right. So, and the Browns had to think long and hard about whether to trade him for that, for those high draft picks. Like, people were saying, we'll give you a first and a third,
yeah,
first and a second, right? There were those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And around draft time, Joe, I'm sure you guys covered it during your drafts, live draft special, was do the Browns go for a Travis Hunter, trade Myles Garrett, get that extra first round pick, get that second pick in the top five, right? There was all that mm-hmm. talk.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, the Browns said, no, we're keeping Garrett and we're paying him, and right. he's going to be a Brown. But whether you agree with that decision or not, I think they made the right move. But if you disagree with that decision, if you're a Browns fan, the one thing you got to like is they made a decision quickly, and they did it before the draft, where they can then plan their draft around having Myles Garrett on the team. The Bengals really come off looking bad here as an organization, right? A, because like we said, when it comes to quarterbacks mm-hmm. and pass rushers, the price tag keeps going up. It never goes down. Just like yep. Jerry Jones learns with Micah Parsons and Dak Prescott, right? Mm-hmm. He's never learned yeah. his lesson in 30 years. He always thinks by waiting he's going to get a deal. He never does, right? It's always going to cost no more. So same thing with the Bengals here, man. Should they have done something prior to the draft, knowing that they had no intention of paying him what he wanted? Because this isn't new. We said yeah. back in March, his agent said, let us at least look for a trade.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, but they were trying. Like, it's not like, even though it wasn't reported, the Bengals front office was trying to sign everybody back. Even, you know what I mean? They were trying to work out deals and
Joe, do you really think they thought they were going to pay him his money with guaranteed money across a multi-year contract? I mean, do you think the Bengals were really working on trying to get him what Hendrickson wanted, which was a multi-year guaranteed money contract? I don't think they have any intention of doing that for him. They're trying to work it out some other way, right?
Like not give him 2-3 years?
Yeah.
With guaranteed money,
with guaranteed,
course,
yeah.
Yeah, no, I think
here's the thing. I don't think it's like fully guaranteed type of contract deal that he's going to be getting. I think it's the final number of guarantees. He's looking for some kind of respect, in other words, in terms of how well he's played for them all these years and where he ranks right now in the NFL as being one of the top DNs in the league. Mm-hmm. And I think he wants to be paid. He doesn't have to be the highest paid. He mm-hmm. just wants to be rewarded for being one of the best in that mm-hmm. area. And I think that's kind of like the debate now, because for the Bengals side, it's 31, it's age. It's like, okay, well, how much longer can he play at this level? You know, do we believe that? Can he play for one more year, 2 more years? And then he declines. It's inevitable. It's father time. So, like, at some point for an athlete, you start to, you know, miss a step, you know? Now, it's the Bengals trying to figure out how much guaranteed money do we feel comfortable with to pay him. Are we willing to pay him in that top five-ish area for guaranteed money to kind of make him feel good and say, okay, now you guys get it now. This is what I've been looking for and move forward. Or is that, obviously that's probably the sticking point like we were mentioning earlier, is where he doesn't feel any of the offers that they've made kind of, you know, saying, hey, really appreciate you. You're rewarded for being this top-notch type of DN, and this is what we think. We want you to be part of the Bengals. Let's go. But everything that he's been sent, everything that obviously you just mentioned, Big John, that they've also sent offers from the agent to them,
right,
and they've turned them all down.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of – this is where it's been. It's been like a tennis battle between the two sides as they keep, you know, here, volley over there, you know, volley it back. And it's going back and forth, and now we're at a point where, you know, we're about to reach the crossroads where a decision that might have to be a tough one for the Bengals, they may have to make, because if they can't get a deal done, we'll just say they can get a deal done by the end of training camp, mm-hmm, and we're going into week one of football.
It's
now you might get into those conversations like you were talking about, Big John, where maybe we start thinking about trading.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I don't know, Jim, if you thought about this, but really, given the exact same age, given they're in the same division, it's funny. We mentioned Garrett and Watt. It just occurred to me. We're all talking about the AFC North in here, so you're keeping up with the Joneses by if you do decide to keep Hendrickson, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Is the comp Watt's contract, TJ Watt's contract? They're the same age,
mm-hmm,
play the same position. Our friend William Del Pilar did us a favor and put those, he sent us that table of stats, and it's hard to tell who's who because they're almost identical based on 2024 results, right? Right.
And in that fact, you would have to give Hendrickson the edge even at this point.
Slightly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think the agent for Hendrickson is just saying, like, okay, we really don't have to spend time negotiating about this. Here's the precedent. Here's, because the NFL is a copycat league. Here's what TJ Watt got. Here's the numbers that line up. They're the exact same age. They play in the same division. They have to face each other twice a year. We'll take what Watt got. Do you think that's something that, I mean, I'm sure it's been presented, right? But do you think that's something we land on if you're the Bengals?
Well, like, with the Bengals
contract,
I think it's somewhere. That's what they got to be looking for. I think it's going to be under, because again, this is what the Bengals always try and do too. And I feel like the Bengals are kind of like you always talk about, you know, cheap or whatever. This and this. It's like they have they wanted to keep him. I don't think it's like all of a sudden they're like going to be like, oh, there was, you know, thoughts that maybe we don't want to keep him and blah, blah, blah. I think they always have intentions like they want to, but they're kind of like, again, somebody who's got the money, but they're kind of like penny pitchers, like, I don't know, though, because they want to. Like, do we want you? But that's a lot. Like, I don't know, man. You know, this and this. And this is what it's always like with them. It's the hemming and hawing. They're still going to do it, but they don't really want to put up and get rid of it. They got it, and they will, I think, but they still will keep going for that low ball, whatever they can, just to save that penny. And I think that's what some of this type of issues are with these guys. So I don't think it's a lack of like, well, if they don't like it, then whatever, we'll just get rid of them. And it's not like Joe said here too, I don't think that at all we're like kind of like, well, we could go without you, and then we'll build that defense or whatever slowly. Like I was kept saying, it's like that window's here and here it is. You got to bring them along for the ride. And then if you avoid a couple of years or even next year, say you sign them on, you give them some guaranteed money that's just under TJ Watt. If I look at it right now, Josh Hines Allen is second right now in fully guaranteed money right underneath TJ Watt. So, and he's at like $85 million, $88 million, somewhere around there. So, because if Trey Hendrickson's guys are in the negotiation room and they're even saying that, hey, these guys, the Giants for guaranteeing, you know, Brian Burns money too, it's like, you got to take care of our guys. We're not talking about TJ Watt here, but I want to be around here respected more than what these guys are. So I'm talking in, you know, somewhere a little bit more than that. I don't think that they would ever be like, you know, oh, let's just go without him and then we'll rebuild because the window will be gone. All the money that they just invested in all those guys on offense will be a wash if they think that this defense is going to kind of build itself somehow without that guy as a cornerstone piece. And I think you got to look at him as one of these top elite guys right now, at least for the time being. This is the way the league is set. You got to do it. You got to pay him now because – we've seen it also with the Rams. How many times they've kind of gone over and folded money over and go on in, and it paid off. Whether it's for one Super Bowl this year and they don't for another decade or whatever, they still went in and they got the Super Bowl right now. Whatever happens after that, whatever happens after that, who cares, right?
But on the other side of that coin for the Rams, they also drafted way better. Like they had a quicker turnaround on
for right now
than we thought they would. And they're a lot younger and definitely a better team altogether. So,
well, that helps, right? But, I mean, all we have to do is look at the Eagles, right? Like every year you're like, oh, man, they're up against the cap. What other moves can they make? And then Howie Roseman pulls something off, right? So it can be done, and maybe front offices need to take the accountability that we expect of players, right? So if the front office is like, Jim will feel this pain. You know, when you look at the Giants, they're constantly in salary cap hell. And every Giant fan says, why? Where is this money going to? I don't see any of it, right? And the Bengals might find that, like, the Bengals are in a slightly different position because you could see where a lot of their money is tied up on the offense. And you're like, all right, we've got the skill position players. We had to build up the offensive line to protect our investment in Burrow. So that made sense. And now you're looking at the defense and you're like, all right, we spent a first round pick on a D lineman. We're working on the defense. And then you can't take care of business at home with Hendrickson one way or another, whether it's sign him, trade him, keep him happy, whatever. And in some way you just say same old bungles, you know, it's just, they always find themselves in these types of positions.
They do in a sense, but the thing that I think is changing in Cincinnati is the way they handle their team overall. Yeah, they might be slower still, but they paid Burrow. They paid Chase. Yes. They paid T. Higgins. I didn't think they were going to pay T. Higgins, to be honest. I thought they were willing to let him go into free agency.
I honestly thought they were going to let Higgins walk and sign Hendrickson right away.
And
that's the move
they
that shocked me. Yeah, that's
they locked them up because look it. They knew, they understood that those guys are their prime players right now, and they're all young. So it's like it's a no-brainer to re-sign them, of course, because of how good they are. But at the same time, they paid big money to keep all of them.
I know, man, and this is hindsight, now, Joe. But you know what, Joe? Hindsight. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but like you got me bubbling right now. Like the truth of the matter is, though, in hindsight, receivers are easier to replace than like a good receiver is easier to replace than a good pass rusher. And let me take that even a step. A great receiver is easier to replace, I think, than a great pass rusher.
Not the special ones like Jamar Chase.
Mm-hmm. No, not Jamar Chase. I'm talking about T. Higgins.
Or T. Higgins.
I'm talking about T. Higgins. He's very good. He's very good.
A really good player for himself as well. So
but that's the comp I'm saying. Like, you know how the Giants had to choose between Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, and they chose Jones, which all other things, you would say, yeah, I'd rather take my chance on the quarterback. I mean, those of us who knew better. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Higgins and Hendrickson, right? I think we're talking about, like, where Hendrickson is a top five D end. Mm-hmm. You look at Higgins, you say maybe he's a top 10 receiver overall.
Yes.
So is it easier to replace a top 10 receiver in the NFL? Whether it's a rookie or a veteran, or is it easier to replace a Hendrickson?
That's the thing of it too is it came down to a decision in terms of age. Like that's the other part of it is that, you know, T. Higgins is young, still in his prime, you know, mid-20s. Like it was a no-brainer. Like, yeah, we're going to have this guy way longer. He's going to provide way more or long-term productivity for us. Hell yeah, let's sign T. Higgins. And, yeah, we still want Trey Hendrickson. Unfortunately, he was kind of like the guy in the back burner, so to speak, and like because he's 31. We're not really the Bengals weren't really sure, like, well, how much are we going to pay him? How long do we make this contract for? Do we front load it? Do we pay everything all in 1 year? Like, what do we do? And now we're at a point where this is the last egg to crack. This is the right. last thing that they got to do before the season to make every Bengal fan happy. And unfortunately, it's taking so long, but we'll see if they can get the deal done in the end.
Yeah, and the thing with Higgins, I mean, that's full. That's loaded with bonuses everywhere. And the fact that he's even got, you know, per-game bonuses on top of things, too, they know that he's injury-prone here, there, too. So all those other incentives have brought into that contract. So it wasn't like the Higgins deal was a game-breaker for getting in, you know, Hendrickson and things like that either. So, I mean, that was just kind of to keep Joe Burrow happy and keep the group together. You know, keep the band together like he wanted. And I don't think it was like a deal breaker for anything here. So,
And real quick, mm-hmm. for what we're looking at, like I'm actually kind of looking at, some of the stats for like average annual salary.
Yep.
And TJ Watt is number one at $41 million on average.
Yep. On average.
$40 million.
Yep.
Right after that, there's an argument to be made for Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah.
Because you have Daniel Hunter as third.
Daniel Hunter, yeah.
5.5.
Yep.
So maybe they could get a deal in the $37 to $38 million range. Maybe. And
it's got to be between that $38, $40 million, I would think, is what Hendrickson's looking for. And I would guess minimum two-year extension, but I would think
I think 3 years. 3 years in that last year might end up being kind of one of those voided years or just kind of like one of those years where they can get out of contract.
Yeah, the fake year at the end. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, we've got a comment here from Linda with us here in the house tonight.
What's going on, Linda?
Hey, Linda. It says both Hendrickson and Watt posted just 4 sacks from weeks 11 to 18. Clear late season fade. Steelers season seemed to pay Watt's legacy, which again is a good point right there. Not future output. That screwed over the Bengals front office. To an extent, again, too, and again, whether it's being the fact that they don't have a lot of personnel working the deals or this and this or whatever, how long it's taken to get things done, negotiations, whatnot. It just takes what it is. And I think that's going to be part of the conversation too, right? I don't think Trey Hendrickson's like, you know, or even the Bengals are like, hey, we're going to pay you for your legacy or even this or that. And he's like, I want this. But he just feels, again, the fact that, hey, I've been putting out since you guys got me here. Yeah, you gave a shot at me. Here I am. I'm doing it. I'm older, and I just led the league. So what else do I got to say right now? You know what I mean? I've been healthy, too. So, you know, what's the problem? You know, let's get it done. And I feel like they want to. But, again, it's the fact that they want to still get that deal. You know what I mean? It's that person that's always shopping for the high-priced stuff. But, like, oh, man, you really got to give me this much? You know, it's like, oh, yeah, it's a Ferrari. Like, yeah, but what about this? You know what I mean? Like, come on.
But the Steelers' identity is their defense. They've always been right. – I mean, their identity historically, like a handful of teams in the NFL, the Bears, the Giants, has always been tied into their defense, mm-hmm. not so much their offense. And this year you could also see that they don't have the kind of investment in their offense that the Bengals do, right?
Right.
So they could afford – And very clearly based on need as well. They can afford to pay what they paid, right? To keep their fan base happy. It's a Steeler tradition. And we had some more wiggle room considering that we're not paying top dollar for a quarterback. You know, we've got Metcalf, but that's about it, right? So I think it's a slightly different situation. But you're right. If you're looking at the individual player outside of the context of the team and the payroll, they are very similar. And you would think that. Plus, another thing, see, I keep waffling. Another thing in Hendrick's favor is he did it on his own, man. Watt has good players around him on that Steeler defense, good complementary pieces, solid pieces. Mm-hmm. Not so for the – who was it, Carlos Dunlap? Was he like the only guy maybe on that defensive line?
Yeah, and Hubbard, and now he even retired too, you know, so now he got his money off there too. So,
that's exactly. Hendrick was doubled, and you know he was the target of the offense, right? So there's a lot. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and I look at it too. It's like say you bring him in and you front load it, whatever you got to do. What else brings other veterans when it comes to free agency and stuff like that, veteran other, you know, pass right. rushers or something. You just saw Von Miller, you know, sign with, a, you know, another deal here to try and make another run at another Super Bowl if he can, you know, for whatever he might have left in the tank. He's, they're paying him, you know, a minimum, you know what I mean? So you're still getting guys that are kind of like, well, we can, he can add them, you know, it's not going to kill us. There's an upside, you know, we're not losing anything on this one. And if right. you win like that and you do that, people will just still want to come. You know what I mean? You'll still try and get those deals done. So I feel like, in turn, if they do this and if they go on a winning, say they make it to the AFC Championship game, you can't tell me that there aren't going to be some veterans here that will work out a different deal in free agency to say, well, I want to go play there then. I want to go there. That's a destination. I got cool yeah. Joe cool and right there, bro, with everybody. I got Jamar right. Chase in offense.
Yeah, it's that, ain't the, Bengals, that ain't the Bengals, though. That's the problem.
That the other,
I'm just saying, they're trying to change things, right?
Trying to change things, but the thing is you get this Trey Hendrickson deal done, you're not going fishing in free agency too often.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. You're going to have an attraction for other free agents to come to Cincinnati, but are they going to be high enough tier guys to kind of make a huge impact on that defensive side? Like, and if so, they're also going to be looking for money. They won't be given a discount. So, in the end,
we'll see.
Plus,
go ahead.
I was going to say, plus, you become a destination team when other players A, want to go there to play there, and they like, you know, but also when they get the sense that management is interested in winning, right? So it was different when the Packers went and got Reggie White, right? Because back then, nobody wanted to go to Green Bay. It's cold, you know, the players never felt at home in Wisconsin, you know, and it took Reggie White going there and paying Reggie White, not giving him grief and saying, like, we want you here. The problem with the Bengals is, even if they end up paying Hendrickson, who the hell wants to go through what Hendrickson went through to get his bag? No player wants to go through that, because now the Bengals have this reputation. We're going to fight you for every penny, and even if you end up getting it, it's going to be like pulling teeth. So we were talking about Christian Wilkins earlier, right? Christian Wilkins. Why would Christian Wilkins want to come to Cincinnati if he had any choice? Like, other than they threw a whole bunch of money at him, which the Bengals won't do. So why would this Cincinnati become a destination? See, the way you treat your players goes beyond the actual contract. It's like, how easy is it to deal with? To your point, Joe, Jimmy, earlier, it's, are they showing respect? Are they treating players unlike cattle? You know, you want to treat them like they're people and not cattle. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we've talked about this particular topic up and down, left and right. So he is showing up now. At least he's kind of putting that foot forward. But then Joe also says, too, you know, he doesn't want to continue to get fined either on this whole situation here, too. Teammates, I'm sure, will be happy to see him over there. I'm sure he's not going to practice at all, but at least he'll be showing up a little bit. And it kind of reminds me, too, of the fact, you know, when we talk about contracts and Micah Parsons, right? I even found out a little tidbit, too, the fact that Micah Parsons, seeing as though is that he showed up, right? And now he's talking about maybe not showing up anymore for a few days or something like that. Like, if he happens to miss more than 5 days, technically the Cowboys can put him on the reserve, like, retired list, like, all of a sudden. I mean, that's crazy. Like, there's things like that. So,
they won't do that, though.
No, they wouldn't do that, though. But that's the funny thing about this, and this is what we're talking about always. Players do have some, you know, negotiations, or they do have some leverage. They just got to use it properly, right? Because the teams want them there. You can't tell me that all of a sudden the Cowboys would be like, oh, yeah, forget you then. We don't need you, like John was talking about. Back in the day, maybe, you know, they'd say, oh, we're going to sit you for a year then. Well, too bad. It ain't happening this year, bro. I mean, they can talk it all they want, but they're desperate. Championships don't come easy now.
Money talks and bullshit walks.
Yeah, I get it.
Bottom line.
Not just in football, brother.
yeah, exactly.
That applies everywhere.
Everywhere. Absolutely. Yeah, so you bring up Christian Wilkins, too. So We're moving on to the next segment here, John. So I don't know if you want to stick around with us or not. You want to move on to this? You want to talk about Christian Wilkins a little bit, seeing you brought him
fellas,
up?
Fellas, it's your show. If you want me around, I'm happy to stay. If you can't stand the sight of me, I'm also cool with that. So you let me know.
All right. Well, let's bring up Wilkins here with us and see what your take is on this whole thing. And then we'll kick you the hell out of here and talk about some training camp stuff. How about that? All right. So you talked about Wilkins maybe potentially, you know, hey, let's go grab him then. Why not? He might be out, you know, he's out there doing his thing and stuff. But Joe's got the scoop of that, you know, our hometown Raider fan here with the blindside blitz. So he's got the scoop all on Christian Wilkins. And there it is, Christian Wilkins and the weird world he lives in. And it all ended with a kiss.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Story keeps getting stranger and stranger every hour. It started off as a video got released by one of the players. They were videotaping, you know, Christian Wilkins in the gym when everything was kind of like shut down. They were hanging out in the gym, but he was dancing. Like he wasn't injured. Like everything's all good, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and he's dancing with, I think it was another player in the room too. And Raiders saw that, and that's kind of like what sped the whole process up to like saying, hey, you know what? You're fired. Get out of here. We don't want you. So that was kind of the first little thing that we saw on the outsiders looking into this whole deal. But then other weird details are starting to kind of creep out. Hmm. So now people are saying like this guy kind of like playfully kissed another player on his forehead, which when you think about that, it's like, that's not a big deal. Like whatever, like he was joking around, you know, but now it's like, they're alluding to a lot more weirder stuff that happened, and it's not just those two incidents. The Raiders also wanted to have him another surgery because they said it didn't heal back right, and he refused. He absolutely refused to see another doctor, have another surgery. Right. So this mm-hmm. has been a very strange situation, and the Raiders are no, you know, strangers to this kind of action. The whole weird thing that happened with Antonio Brown leading to his release. And it's kind of like a weird deja vu incident all right. over again, but with a different player. So we're still waiting to hear more details as they come out. But there's a couple of different sources that are kind of given two different stories. And one is basically saying, I'm not repeating what I heard. And that's how weird it is. So.
Right.
I don't know if we're ever going to find out all the details, but I know that it is very intriguing to find out what, in fact, Christian Wilkins, what his actions were or what he did or said in the Raiders facility, what transpired. But until then, we're all waiting and can't wait to find out what exactly happened in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. It's like, it's almost like, you know, they, like they said, the video that's there, you know, they're like, oh, he's injured, you know, but he's still doing this. So, all right, we've got reason to believe that we can do, move something on this or, you know, but whatever, you know, we'll work through this. And then you're hearing the other stories, again, the emotional weird stuff. Now even defensive tackle Adam Butler has said, you know, he's bringing on stuff that people weren't even talking about. He's like, hey, well, you got stuff going on in your life and this, you know, and you need to talk to somebody and this. So, and other people are now coming out just hours ago saying about, you know, hey, you know, maybe he's suicidal and all this other crap too. So maybe he's got just some weird shit going on in his brain right now and a lot of stuff going on outside of things and doesn't know what to do with his emotions. He's kind of weirded out, you know, and that's what I mean. It kind of took it to a different level with somebody else where, like, again, people said, hey, he was trying to be playful, but I don't know anybody that's playful in an NFL locker room. Like, I don't know that's the time to be playful with people, right, Joe?
I don't know. That's the funny thing is we don't know the player, obviously, they're keeping that under wraps. But yeah. The Raiders have been very, very silent. Like, there's not really any
no comments. All this, yeah,
yeah. Like, yeah. They're keeping a can on it, and you know, I get something is going to come out to where everybody's digging, right? Like, all right. The journalists out there, all the reporters, like even people with contacts in the building are trying to get any kind of info that they can. And it'll be interesting to see how it all unfolds at the very end, because will this hurt Christian Wilkins' ability to sign with another team this year? Mm-hmm. I mean, depending on what the severity of all these actions are, or is it kind of a thing where it was overblown and Raiders maybe quickly reacted to something that isn't really a big deal, which would be kind of a moronic move, but
yeah.
Again, like it's just an awfully strange situation. And until we get all the details, it's hard to figure out.
Yeah. I know. To me, it just seems like, there could be something underlying that we're not knowing about and just took something like this to come out. And they're like, all right, but that's the one. That's the one we
there's
can
this,
say.
That's
the straw that broke the camel's back, right? And
guy,
there we
I
go.
Mean,
we'll just do
yeah.
this. But.
And that's the other thing is, like, I don't know if it was the player that got kissed on the forehead or maybe someone else, but somebody went to HR.
Yeah.
Someone went to Human Resources and filed a report on Christian. So it's getting weird in Vegas.
Yeah. It's something like this that we haven't seen since when the Miami Dolphins. Remember that situation with Richie Incognito and everything? And
the
bullying on this guy.
Yeah, the bullying.
Stuff like that. So this is like almost like on the opposite spectrum. It's like almost being too on the opposite side, too touchy-feely or something, right. Or he's got something else going on. So it will be interesting, and will we even find out what really truly transpired anytime soon, or will it come out now that he has filed his grievance to try and, combat, the whole, being cut and all that stuff and retain his money. So maybe it'll come back in that dispute. But.
See, these things are always, to me, very interesting because it's almost like a chess game, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the fact that the Raiders are pretty much keeping quiet about specifics means to me they're lawyering up for something, right? They don't want to say anything that'll be used against them, right? So total speculation. I think they're lawyering up, right? Whatever it is that they think Wilkins has done, whatever it may be, they're not talking about it because they don't want to give anybody a chance to contradict themselves or anything
right.
like that in court.
Right.
So I don't think we're going to hear too much for them until they're ready to just drop the bomb, drop the hammer.
Yeah, plus it's because it's a contract issue now.
It's a contract.
It's not just releasing the player and saying, okay, yeah, we still got to pay him the rest of the guarantees. They seem to think that whatever the action was to lead to this release.
They're going to claw back the money.
Right. Yeah. It was so serious to the point where like, okay, well, detrimental to the team. Because of that, we're going to take the rest of your guaranteed money.
Well, also, guys, wasn't it also a case that Wilkins wasn't like he didn't rehab with the team. He rehabbed on his own, I think. Mm-hmm. I think he didn't use the doctors the team wanted him to. Like, there's all that sort of thing going on.
Right.
Let's face it. When Aaron Rodgers does that, we kind of just say, that's Aaron Rodgers. And the Packers let him get away with it. The Jets let him get away with it. The Raiders clearly are not putting up with that from Wilkins, right, on the surface at least. This other stuff, you don't know. I mean, look, you're right, Joe. Like, anybody who's played football or any other team sport's been in the locker room knows there's all sorts of weird horseplay that takes place. Usually you don't run to HR about it. Somebody my age, the whole thing's laughable, right? Like, what'd he do? He snapped me with a towel? HR. It's like, come on. What are you going to do, right?
I don't think it's that playful.
I think
that's what's being kind of let out for maybe some. Maybe a player said something like that, like, it wasn't much or anything. But I think there has to be something more serious to this whole situation.
I tend to agree, or at least the allegations are more serious than what's being – I agree with you, and somebody's lawyering up. But also on Wilkins' side, if you think about it, if he's got good representation, they may be telling him, like, listen, if you effed up along the way, shut your mouth. Shut your pie hole at this point because what you think you're going to lose with the Raiders is nothing compared to all the future contracts you're going to lose, right?
Yeah.
So they've got a strategy here that's got to be like, hey, Christian, did you kiss a guy on top of the head? Like, did you grab somebody's butt or did you whip a towel at somebody?
Right.
Like, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Keep it to yourself. And if it ends up costing you $10-20 million at this point, yeah, that's a lot of scratch, but guess what? Consider it a lesson. Because if you start complaining about it now, what other NFL team's going to touch you?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You don't want to become Antonio Brown after he walked off, what was it, halftime against the Jets, right? When he was in the Buccaneers.
Sure, he
walked off. See you later, right? Like, you don't want to become that guy. Who was the guy that quit mid-game with the Bills? Like, was that Vontae Davis?
Oh, like, no, the 49ers.
No, the 49ers, yeah.
The linebacker for the 49ers, Devondre Campbell.
Devondre Campbell did that, but a couple of years ago, the Bills had somebody, too. At halftime, it was a tight end. I could have sworn, not Vontae Davis. Who was the Vernon Davis. Didn't Vernon Davis quit at halftime? I could be wrong. I hope I'm not maligning the guy. But we've seen this, right, where once your reputation goes, like, who's going to sign Devondre Campbell now and expect him to contribute, right? So, because he's proven he's not trustworthy. So yeah, I think there's a great deal of strategy going on that was interesting as it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you, Joe. It's a chess match between Raiders and Wilkins. Both of them have all – you would hope that they could be adults and say, all right, let's meet somewhere quiet,
right,
no press.
Yeah.
Let's maybe split the difference. Like, I'll give you back half and we'll go our separate ways and we'll sign an NDA and – keep our yapper shut, you know, right. Just go from there, man.
Yeah. Yeah, because the fact they bring him in, he played five games injured, and now they're willing to walk away. It seems very odd, like what really transpired there.
How huge of a signing was that last year? Remember, everybody said, wow, the Raiders are serious. They signed the best young D-tackle on the market, right? They're serious this time. They're getting Crosby help, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely interesting. We'll follow it as it goes. But yeah, we'll see. I think some of that stuff won't come out until again when we see everything get panned out.
We'll forget about this, and we'll start to hear details after the season's over.
Yeah,
I think you're right, Joe. Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So before we move on to our next segment, John, why don't you lead us out of this one and tell everybody where you can actually find more episodes of the Blind Side Blitz and more podcasts just like ours at Grumblings Media.
Sure, it's time for my favorite part of any show. It's the pimping time of the show. So, yeah, come to Grumblings Media, grumblingsmedia.com. We have all sorts of podcasts, all sorts of great content. Everybody knows that. Blitz Nation, you know where your boys can be found. At Grumblings Media, every major platform, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, X. Don't forget, X is growing for us like gangbusters, guys. 18,000 other guys, Blitz Nation on YouTube, can't be wrong. You follow us. Also make sure, hey, I'm going to pimp a little for my shows. Free for all, every Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, live. Get us your questions. Wednesdays, I have my interview show with Mike Termott, former VP of the Libertarian National Party, VP candidate, rather. We do something called Liberty Lens and other great shows. We also have politics, sports. So guys, thank you so much for having me on. Every so often you make me feel like a kid again by talking about my roots, which is pro football. Thanks for having me on, guys, and peace to everyone. Peace, Blitz Nation, and I'll catch you on the flip side.
Right, see you later, John. It's good, always a pleasure having you on here.
All right, fellas, peace out.
All right, John. Big John, that's right. A legend in Sirius XM radio and in football talk and everything else out there. So it's a pleasure for him to be on there with us. And he talks about the old school stuff. He's an old school guy too. That's what I mean. When you bring up like even Vernon Davis to some people, they're kind of like, who? Like, who
the hell
is that? You know? yeah, exactly. So it's good. It's good stuff though. Cause again, he's an old school guy. And to hear that different mentality, because that's what I mean. When we were talking about, he's talking about a team potentially just, hey, well, we'll just sit this guy for the season. That isn't happening now, dude. You know what I mean? The teams know that these guys are too valuable, that, yes, they want to dick around with the contracts and all this other stuff or whatever, but the players are there. They need to have them there. They know how important it is for them to be on the team. They're not just going to say, hey, all of a sudden, you know, we're going to take you out of here. You know what I mean?
Right on.
So even though that does hurt a player too, I mean, look at what for the Steelers did it before. One running back, was it LeSean? What the hell was his name? I can't remember now. See, that's what I mean. You forget these guys. It was the running back for the Steelers, but he was one of the only ones that said, hey, listen, I'm just going to not show up for the whole season. I'm going to take
Le'Veon
a season
Bell?
Off. Le'Veon Bell. There you go. Le'Veon Bell. I'm going to take the whole season off myself. And then when he even came back, he wasn't the same guy. You know what I mean? So there's a big difference when all that stuff happens. So players don't want to do it. Teams don't want to do it.
Yeah, it costs him too much money. It hurts him in the pocket. So
big time. Big time. All right. So, Joe, let's talk about some of the biggest storylines coming up through training camp right now. In a segment we like to call Quick Slants. That's right, Joe. So some major some injuries going on. You're like quick slants. It's like what do I do with my hands? Right? No. Spaghetti arms or whatever. Let's talk about even about some injuries here. Yeah, there you go. Big John's right there. He's got me covered too, Le'Veon Bell. See, I know stuff, but then I forget sometimes because we talk about so many goddamn teams and you've been doing it for so long, man.
Yeah, so first thing, like, we'll go with Dallas Cowboys. Tackle. Tyler Guyton reportedly going to be out 4 to 6 weeks with a leg injury. He did not tear his ACL like it was initially reported. So some good news for the Cowboys. Unfortunately, still the injury's there. Yeah. He's going to be missing some time, but at least it's not going to be like, you know, the whole year.
Yeah, exactly.
Titans waived. Finally, this is one of our cuts, by the way, Jim.
It was.
Treylon Burks fractured his collarbone over the weekend. He also cleared waivers. So, yes, they did do an injury settlement, and he's free to sign with anybody, but nobody's interested.
Nobody. That's what's funny, because I even thought, I'm like, do we at one point, are we going to have that Treylon Burks landing spot? So I'm like, no, I don't think so. I think he's going to go try and find a landing spot somewhere next season, trying to make a roster or whatever. But
we talk about
busts, you know, when we talk about that draft. He was on there. And like you said, also our roster cuts. A lot of these are coming true, Joe. What about Cordarrelle Patterson? He was a roster cut that we had too as well. And there he is, lo and behold. He's the one that breaks the story. How about that, Joe? Like, a lot of times they get somebody else breaking the story and they're like, finding out, like, what? Or what the hell happened? Or he just get a phone call? He tells everybody. Cordarrelle's a
character for sure.
Yeah. So Cordarrelle Patterson too, his career has come to an end. And like, again, we talked about it in our roster cuts too. We saw it coming. You know, he was able to extend his career as long as he could, especially going along with Arthur Smith, you know, to find his place there. Yeah. But, you know, a good career, though, you know, coming to an end now.
Over in Indianapolis, the Colts sign and give a huge extension. $100 million deal and $60 million guaranteed to none other than Bernard Raymond. They love themselves some Bernard, and he's there to stay in Indy. This is kind of one of those deals where, like, it was expected, but at the same time, I mean, I think that's a little bit steep of a contract for Bernard. But, hey, they trust in him for sure.
He wasn't the highest paid, right? But he was, like, the third highest paid, like, offensive lineman maybe or something like that. I know he was up there. Money. Yeah. I know.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Speaking of money, one of my top three quarterbacks this year, Baker Mayfield, reportedly reworked his contract to get him $30 million guaranteed in 2026. So Buccaneers cashing in, giving this guy some money, locking him in. Cortland Sutton's also another guy that kind of got locked in by the Denver Broncos, agreeing to a four-year deal, $92 million contract. After all the crazy trade rumors that were swirling about, the Broncos lock in their guy.
Yep, and we talked about that like last week, I think it was, even too, when we were discussing teams on our other show, on the Football on the No show, when we were talking about Broncos' biggest questions. What are they going to do? His contract is going to be expiring pretty soon. They got to lock him in. They didn't wait till the season. They're doing it right now, and here they go. So, absolutely.
The good teams, I should say this, the well-run front offices get the deals done earlier than later. That's bringing us to Terry McLaurin. Got a little bit of news from him, what he's expecting. We were trying to guess, like, about where he fits in that wide receiver spectrum. Well, kind of fit right in line with what we were thinking. He wants more kind of like what DK Metcalf got, $33 million on average per year in his new Commanders contract. Hopefully that deal's going to come all to a close and get that thing done. He also ended his hold in, is like the new term. So he ended his hold in and is practicing with the team.
Cleveland Browns, I like it.
Likely. And, Jim, all I got to say is on our show, we seem to kind of read the tea leaves in the NFL, and here it is once again. Likely to trade one of the four quarterbacks that they have at their disposal. So, is it going to be Shador? Is it going to be Joe Flacco? Is it going to be Dylan Gabriel? Or is it going to be Kenny Pickett? So Again, we kind of alluded this to happening because there's no way you're keeping four quarterbacks going into the season. You know, you drafted two, you traded for Pickett, you brought in Joe Flacco, signed him to a deal. So who's it going to be?
Yeah, it was kind of funny, I think, too. There's a couple of different things to this. Well, Kenny Pickett's banged up and injured right now, so he exactly can't trade him until he can pass a physical, right? So that's one thing for them. And I think noticing, too, more along the lines of when people talk about the Browns, they automatically have Shedeur Sanders as, like, the quarterback. Like, you know, when they talk about Browns, and then there he is against whatever other team's starting quarterback and stuff like that. So teams are already telegraphing what they feel like, because you don't, or not teams, the media. The media is already telegraphing what they already, their opinion. They're sticking to this opinion that he was going to be a great prospect. He should have been the starter. And they're banging this thing to where they're showing pictures nonstop about this guy. And now they're automatically knocking them, too, if he's not going to be the starter, if he's not going to do this. And they're stupid if they do this. So for me, I think if, yes, they brought Joe Flacco in, and I get that, you know, veteran presence, maybe you can learn something. Maybe they bring him in to try and do something with this team, because that defense under Jim Schwartz is good. And, yes, you've got, you know, Myles Garrett there, too, which is good. They locked him in. But that's the difference between those guys and the Bengals. When John talked about the Bengals, what they should do and this, and, you know, sort of like the Browns or whatever, I think the Browns are in a different spectrum. Browns aren't the Bengals. They're not making a run for the playoffs, really. You think Joe Flacco's going to do that? So, if anything, I just say, with them, if you put in all your money in Kevin Stefanski and you really believe in him and this regime and what he's going to do, and you're locked into him, that you think that he can actually do something with one of these guys, I'm saying screw it. I'm saying Joe Flacco, go somewhere else, and let's see what happens with the rookies and play them all through the season, because at one point, you got to see what you're going to do now, right? You would figure to see if you drafted one of your future quarterbacks right now. And if your team sucks, you've got some quarterbacks next year again. Why not take another swing?
I got news for you, Jim. Shedeur sucks. And even though you've seen these so-called highlights, guess what, everybody? He's playing with the third team. He hasn't even made a rep with the first team. This dude has been – he's so low on the depth chart, you can't find him on the roster. Like, he is being outplayed by Dillon Gabriel, was being outplayed by Kenny Pickett until he got injured, and then Joe Flacco easily is ahead of everybody. So, this whole, like, trying to spin Shedeur, and I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to hype him up and make him better than what he actually is. But, dude, the guy hasn't played with any of the first-team reps. He hasn't had any first-team reps or first-team players. So, it's all bullshit. And, you know, I think when it comes down to it, I think it's going to be down to the make possibly Kenny Pickett might be the one that ends up getting traded after he comes back from his injury.
Right. Because I mean, that does make sense there, too, because, again, that's kind of the odd man out.
Yeah, you're not going – I don't envision them moving on from one of two of the rookies they just drafted and got into camp.
Right.
You know,
right.
I think it's at that point it's a waste. So
yeah.
I think you're going to want to develop them further, and that's probably what I expected for the most part.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that, because then that, I mean, we already know they're kind of a messed up franchise as it is, right? You know, dysfunctional a little bit, and they've already kind of messed up. And not only did you have egg on your face to where you drafted Dillon Gabriel here first, and then all of a sudden later on you grabbed another quarterback within the same draft. But now to admit that maybe you're just like, God, one of these guys isn't it, and you want to trade one away already and give up? I mean, that just looks triple terrible, you know, as far as everybody else looking at you, what the franchise is doing.
Yeah. Or or it's one of those things where, like, oh, my God, we didn't envision this guy being this terrible. We can't work with him. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Don't expect either one of the rookies to be moved on from. But,
right, and if you're talking about trading, too, what kind of trade are you going to get for that? For a seventh-round pick that you did before, or even Gabriel that, you know, for what, round you drafted him on? You're not going to get much value. Yeah, so
you're
going to
get a seventh-rounder for either one of them.
Right, so there isn't anything. So that's why Pickett, again, just like many other teams or a few other teams now, you know, the Eagles and now, you know, the Browns wanted to take a shot. You know, see what's happened. See what this guy's got or something.
No matter what happens, it's going to be a low-end pick, seventh-round pick for any of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Graham Glasgow former offensive guard, now moving to center for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
You know, Frank Ragnow announcing retirement. They got to fill the hole somewhere. So, you know, they fully trust Ram can make the transition, and he's going to get a chance to start this year.
Mm-hmm.
New York Giants, some very shaky news in New York. Malik Nabers taken to the locker room after injury during training camp practice, suspects to be a shoulder injury. But so far, we're still waiting to hear the severity of it. I don't expect it to be anything catastrophic, but we'll wait for the doctors to confirm all that. In New England, the corner was hurt last year. Christian Gonzalez missed a lot of time the whole year. Suffers a hamstring injury in practice. But everybody, guess what? He's expected to play week one. So it sounds like he's going to miss all the rest of training camp, and they're hoping that he's going to be ready for week one. Man, is this guy going to end up becoming an injury-plagued player? Yeah, so far, he's on his way to being so.
Yeah, so far. You know, and that's the thing, though. It's going to be like one of those things like, hey, how good are you unless you're on the field? You know what I'm saying? Because, again, that season when he was healthy, you know, he looked really good.
Really good.
So that's the thing. Availability, your best ability here.
And the New York Jets keep adding talent by signing veteran kicker Nick Foles.
And Nick Foles.
So they're making moves in New York. They believe.
Making moves.
And by the way, Justin Fields is back at practice.
Yeah.
A lot of Jets fans were concerned.
Yep.
We talked about this earlier in the show, but if you missed that, Trey Hendrickson is reportedly will end his holdout. Still not close to a new contract with the Bengals. However, he'll be flying from Florida to Cincinnati today, planning to end his holdout on Wednesday.
The Broncos. All right, Joe. Yep,
last but not least, the Broncos focusing on deals for defensive lineman Zach Allen and linebacker Nick Benito. But however, they will not be negotiating deals with defensive lineman John Franklin Myers. And that is your quick slants.
Quick slants. All right, Joe. So I want to bring up one thing here, too, that I guess a lot of people aren't talking about, that except for Lions fans, right? Because Lions fans, you get your team's good, right? Now that this team, you know, they've got a lot of good players here. They've locking in some of the guys, you know, the key players that they have here. But then now it's time to make decisions with guys that have been contributing. They're fan favorites, but they're aging a bit now, too. All right, so Alex Anzalone's contract is pretty much, you know, up to debate here, too, to where he's at the end here. So they either got to re-sign him here. He's like 30 years old right now, almost 31, right?
Right.
So, again, fans, hey, you got to pay the guy. You got to pay the guy, this and this. And Manti Te'o, I think, even not that I care about his opinion that much, had ranked him even one of the top linebackers, too, out there, too, which I think he's a good
player,
too. Last year, though, only played 10 games again, those two. You know, when he's out there, he's producing. I mean, he's getting sacks. He's a ball hawk all over the place, too. But he will be up for another contract. So, I mean, what do the Lions do, too, on that aspect? I mean, do they just decide to bring him in, you know, restructure his contract this year, add him a couple more years on this late, on a push here, too, to try and get that championship? Or they just say, you know, whatever, you know, it's been great, but, you know, time to get a little younger, too, and we can catch somebody in the draft.
And that's it right there. Like, the Lions have been doing a good job of drafting so far, and why stop now? I don't think Alex Anzalone is one of those playmaker, like, high-end linebackers that everyone talks about through the NFL. He's a good player, don't get me wrong, but he's not, you know, he's not a Fred Warner, you know, with the 49ers.
Yeah.
He's not a Dre Greenlaw in his prime, you know what I mean? Like, he's not one of these playmaking linebackers. So, he might make some splash plays once in a while. He's a good, solid player. But that's what he is. He's a solid player. He's not a guy that's going to cost you the game or anything, but he's also a guy that's not going to make too many big-time plays. And I think the Lions continue to do what they've been doing and build through the draft. So do not sign him to an extension. Do not rework his contract. Let him walk in free agency and go draft yourself another star-studded linebacker.
Absolutely, Joe. So, yeah, so there you go. There's our quick slants. We're talking about it there, too. Injuries, again, with the Cowboys. So we'll see what happens with them and that offensive line. If they get banged up again, I mean, it's going to be a rough one here for, you know.
Well, technically, they already are. Yeah. I mean, technically, yeah. Tyler Guyton is injured.
Yeah.
He'll be out 4 to 6 weeks now.
Yep, they lost the guard, too.
From now, though. Yep. So it's going to bleed into the beginning of the season until he's 100%. So, yeah, he's going to miss some time, you know, early on. And who knows, maybe by week one, another guy goes down. So we'll see. We'll be here to keep you guys in tune for sure. If you're new to the show, if this is your first time, if you love the content, we love you being here. Thanks to all the Blitz, Blindside Blitz Nation out there. Make sure you head over to Grumblings Media, hit that subscribe button, hit the thumbs up while you're at it, just to let YouTube know, like, hey, these guys know what they're doing. And then don't forget to share it to all your family and friends. Wow, we just got a late comment in the house here.
Oh, we did. Just as
Mike Tackett.
Before Mike Tackett's in the house. Oh, man, we got to bring Mike Tackett in there, too.
That's right.
All right. He goes, if guys have any friends or family on the West Coast or in Hawaii, check on them. Russia just got hit with one of the world's largest earthquakes just now. An 8.8 tsunami is expected soon in Hawaii. Holy crap. Damn, dude. That changed everything, the whole feel on this.
Way to bring everybody down, Mike.
But Mike always brings the news, always, whatever. But that's crazy. So, yeah, anybody out there on the West Coast, hey,
yeah,
take cover.
Hope you guys are safe. Whatever you guys are okay out there.
Yeah, check in on people. Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean?
Prayers goes out to West Coast.
Yep. Everybody out there. Oh, man. Yeah. Out there, Hawaii.
Mike,
oh,
we do
my
appreciate
gosh.
You. Mike is always dropping knowledge, dropping news. Whether
I thought he was going to give us the question, say, "Hey, what do you guys think about this?" And then all of a sudden, I got to think about, "What do I think about that, Joe?" You know,
Mike Tackett might be part of a weather podcast. We don't know it.
He might
He's
too.
Got the scoop on everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
thank you, Mike.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Definitely. So that's it for our show here tonight. We'll be back tomorrow with the Football on the Nose show. So you guys check us out there too at our other show. You can find us on YouTube too as well. So that's it. We'll see you guys next Tuesday for some more training camp headlines. We'll see what happens next week. If any of these contracts get done too, if they do, whatever, we'll be here. So
find
join along with us too as well.
Christian Wilkins is.
Absolutely. So I'll see you guys and, talk to you in the next one.